When I was six, my father took me to Grand Central Terminal in New York to see the imposing bronze statue of my great-great-great-grandfather, Commodore Cornelius Vanderbilt. It stands high on a pedestal on the south side of the train terminal he founded, within sight of Vanderbilt Avenue and a hotel that, back then, was also named after him. I knew little about the Vanderbilt dynasty. My mom, Gloria Vanderbilt, rarely talked about her tumultuous childhood or the fractious family she was born into in 1924. My father, Wyatt Cooper, grew up on a small farm in Mississippi during the Depression, about as far from the palatial homes of the Vanderbilts as you can imagine. But he wanted me to understand my mom's extraordinary history and her complicated feelings about it. When we went to see the statue, my dad told me that the Commodore was a tough businessman and an unforgiving father, and that when he died, he was the richest person in America. I'm sure he said more, but I can't remember. I was, after all, only six. I do recall, however, that for weeks after our visit, I was convinced that all grandparents turned into statues when they died. For much of my life, I wanted nothing to do with the Vanderbilts. I very much like the few Vanderbilt cousins I've met, but I never wanted to look too closely at the history of the family. I felt it had no bearing on my life. The Vanderbilt dynasty disappeared long ago, and my parents had made sure I understood early on that there was no Vanderbilt money or trust fund I'd be inheriting when I became an adult. They wanted me to be my own person, and I am grateful to them for that. I've always gone out of my way to avoid mentioning my relation to the Vanderbilts. When someone would find out and ask me, "What was it like to grow up a Vanderbilt?" my response was always the same. "I don't know," I'd say. "I'm a Cooper." But my mom's death in 2019 and the birth of my son, Wyatt, began to change my perspective. In the weeks after she died, I began going through dozens of boxes stored away in her apartment and her art studio. They were filled with journals and documents and letters, handwritten notes from her Aunt Gertrude Vanderbilt Whitney, and school books my grandfather Reginald Vanderbilt doodled in as a child. I found old wills and financial records, and as I read the contents of these files stained by time and mold, I began to hear the voices of those people I never knew. They were more than just characters in a history book, more than just one-dimensional members of an American dynasty. They were complex, flush with desire, their inner lives far more compelling than their public personae would have us believe. When my son was born, I began to wonder, what will I tell him about them? What do I hope he learns from the lives they led and the choices they made? In order to answer those questions, I began researching these people I had avoided for so long. This family. My family. The Vanderbilts were the original new money arrivists who burst on the scene, used their wealth to buy prestige and respectability, and churned through their fortune not in the cause of making lasting change, but on massive outlets for conspicuous consumption. Vanderbilt millions bought palatial houses, astonishing yachts, cars in the hundreds, and jewels both magnificent and rare. But under the buckets of ink spilled on their exploits by newspapers, and behind the magnificent and temporary marble walls constructed of the Commodore's money, unfolded private lives both messy and insecure, nuanced and complicated, sometimes irredeemable, but always fascinating. This is the story of the extraordinary rise and epic fall of the Vanderbilt dynasty. This is the story of the greatest American fortune ever squandered.